Get a little a twist going on there. That's the Soweto String Quartet with Millennia. It's township music with strings instead of the traditional penny whistle and horns. Born in 1992 in Soweto when they performed at the inauguration of Nelson Mandela, and the rest is history. They took off. This is one of my favorite albums by them. Well, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about the fact that people are very upset. What are they upset about? They're upset with Donald Trump. What else are they upset about Donald Trump? The fact that it seems that he pulled off quite a feat here in traveling to Wisconsin and making quite an impression in Kenosha when he went to visit the scene of great unrest. And he pulled it off. Now, I'm not saying that that was a great thing, because, of course, it's politics. It was an organized... Am I hearing an echo? Am I hearing one? Okay. Yes, I still am hearing an echo. No? Wait a minute. Yes, still hearing an echo. Okay, so he goes to Wisconsin to show a couple of things, but mostly his strength as the leader of the nation in the aftermath of great distress for the community, because you had a lot of violence there, and it occurred in the aftermath of a shooting of Jacob Blake. The whole community erupted, and there was the president telling people, look, you're going to have to put this down, and you're going to have to be strong, and you're going to have to be resolute. And we cannot have this kind of thing going on. People were terrified that it was the whole city was going to just blow up. Well, finally, Trump decides to pay a visit to Kenosha, despite the objections of the mayor and other leaders of the city, thinking that his very presence would aggravate circumstances and cause an even bigger conflagration. But there was no conflagration. There was Donald Trump doing his Donald Trump thing. But we're going to discuss this today in a very different way that you may not have been expecting, and that is, looking at it as a political project, here's a president of the United States. He's under the gun on a bunch of other issues. Here is an opportunity to drive several points home about his leadership, about where he stands on things, and whether he has what it takes to be president of the United States. It's a kind of a test case for him. So this has got to go right. And by right, I mean it has to be contained. He is now the candidate of law and order. He is assuring Americans that he's got what it takes to put the country right back on a firm axis, not with craziness happening every day, but with a sense of order. This is a big thing now. This is his mantra, law and order. He's a law and order guy. And so all kinds of efforts were made to see to it that that message was communicated. And it seemed to have been communicated. He is a guy of law and order. And that's what he brought. That's the message he brought to Kenosha, Wisconsin. I am tired of this country being held hostage by lawless people who think it is a kind of a bizarre form of entertainment to throw cities into chaos, lots of violence, even killings by police and by regular people, civilians. And we've got to bring this to an end. I'm the guy. Elect me and watch how this nation will return to a state of law and order. And it would seem he accomplished exactly that in his visit to Kenosha, Wisconsin. But that's one little thing we're going to talk about. But it isn't a little thing. We have to now juxtapose this newly rebirthed Donald Trump, the law and order Donald Trump. We have to juxtapose that with Joe Biden. Biden seems, on the other hand, to have lost some vital energy. His candidacy seems waning. He seems to be receding into the shadows rather than coming more and more to the front. And there isn't very much time between now and the election, November 3rd. So that's where we are going today in this initial discussion about how the candidates, the two main candidates, are kind of shaping and reshaping their approach in order to attract more and more support, and more importantly, to convey a message that leaders, especially of the United States, should convey, that they're in charge. They will put the country on a firm footing. They're not going to have all this disorder. And they can be counted on to reinstate a sense of quote, democracy, unquote. We can't have all different kinds of people doing whatever they want to do in order to convey their messages. The only message that we want to convey is that the city and the state that you're living in, the country as a whole, is in good hands. Returning to a state of safety and prosperity. That's all you need to know. And it is on that basis that we're asking you to vote, you know, for me. Vote for me. I am the candidate who will restore this country to solid footing. What say you, though? What say you as we are on the cusp of the actual, there's not much time left to convey messages, to illustrate points, to gain points, to go after stragglers who have not yet committed. There's a lot of work to do and not much time left in which to do it. So what do you see as, you know, this turning point? Do you get a sense, you know, based on news coverage and the preponderance of stories and the angles that they're taking, you get a sense that this is where the country is now. The mindset is the country is looking for greater definition of leadership. And the big sale is on. the candidates have to bring the sale home. And in order to do that, they have to extol the virtues and the benefits of their so-called plans, which is, again, bringing me back to Donald Trump. We are not aware of what his plans are. We know what his reactions are. And to the extent that they could be called plans, well, that's what they'll be called, plans. But largely, he's a trigger planner. He plans according to the moment. And he doesn't seem to have a long view. He doesn't seem to have a comprehensive view. Takes pieces of things and deals with them that way. As in this visit to Wisconsin, Kenosha, Wisconsin, where in his view, just being there is a plan. And his reactions, his visceral reactions, are a plan. And then as he leaves, he lets the media know that he's encouraging the leadership of the city to avail themselves to access that they now have directly to his office to fix things and get on with life. That's a plan. But of course, we know that's not a plan. That is politics, but it went over very well. He has an innate sense of what catches the people's attention. And he will do what needs to be done to catch people's attention and hold it for just a little while. He's not looking for a long-term relationship except until November the 3rd. On November the 4th, he would be an entirely different guy. But this is how things are evolving at this point. For Joe Biden, I must say, you get the feeling that he's just tired. He would like this whole thing to be over as soon as possible because he's tired, he's worn out. And you get the feeling that he has not yet presented his version of a comprehensive plan about anything. He's reacting in much the same way that Trump is reacting, and that is on a case-by-case basis. But we don't get the sense that Joe Biden has a comprehensive plan about what he sees as the logical way to deal with the evolution that we're dealing with now as a nation in all these different aspects. We have the coronavirus. We have issues like, people losing their jobs. We have issues of food security. We have lots and lots of issues that nobody so far has touched, let alone laid out a plan saying, these are my top 10 items. And this is what I think we ought to do. We haven't gotten that treatment yet, and it is scary because we're literally right on the cusp of a national election. And yet we're dealing piecemeal with things, and we still don't have a full picture of what the vision is by these candidates as to what they see as the most pressing issues and how they might, how they propose to tackle them. So let's get from you, we're going to use as our starting point today, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Trump's trip there over the weekend, in which he made a big thing about restoring law and order. Now, there are several levels of meaning in all of that, as we know. When people start talking about law and order, There are many interpretations of what that means. So you could tackle that as well. What does it mean when Donald Trump talks about law and order? And he has now pivoted his campaign to that mantra, law and order. He's a law and order candidate. We still don't know what Joe Biden's mantra is, except that we are supposed to feel comfortable with the often repeated refrain that the great comfort point with Joe Biden is that he is not Donald Trump. I don't know if people really expect these kinds of jingoistic things to work. I am not Donald Trump. Well, okay, so but who are you? And what do you stand for? We still are not clear about that. So it isn't like you have done a great job of enlightening the people comprehensively or to give them the big picture as to what it is you stand for. But it is not enough at this time, at this late date, heading literally into the general election, to sell the concept and to think that it would work, that people should know you as the person who is not Donald Trump. All right, 888-874-4888. I have given you the general lay of the land today, and I want to see where you go with it. What is it that you're getting now? As things flesh out a little bit more, are you more in touch with what the candidates are offering or how they wish to be seen or why they wish that you would decide to support their candidacies? You know, we don't know. It is one of those things where things are changing so rapidly. We haven't been able as an electorate to appreciate not even half the things that the candidates say they stand for. So I don't know what the education is going to be among voters when they decide to cast their vote. How well educated are they about issues? And to what degree do these issues, as defined by the candidates, mesh with their own? I don't know. But I do feel that there's something missing here. It's hard to define, but I could say that it has to do with a lack of understanding of what it is the candidates stand for. I know they say some things. They say one thing one day, say something the next day. But do we see enough from them to make sense of them as candidates? Do we have an idea, or are we operating on fumes right now? Are we operating on suppositions and, you know, we think this is what this candidate stands for, but we're not sure. We don't know where the candidate stands on the things that are important to me. Is that acceptable this late in the game as we approach the election date on November the 3rd? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I think it probably would be a good idea to take a little break to give your brain some time to settle, and we come right back to your thoughts right after this.
Hello, Ed. How are you?
I'm all right. Me and my sons is here. I got cut off. There's a little confusion. You're coming in a little choppy. I don't know. Maybe you need to work on your tech. As to your question or to your commentary, like I said before, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for Joe Biden because I believe this man is insane that's in the White House. But that being said, unfortunately, the only way I can look at this thing is like this. The DNC is basically okay with losing. If you wanted to win this election, you have to motivate the base. You have to throw us some kind of bones. Healthcare, UBI, debt relief, something, anything, even if it's just lip service. But they're not doing it. They're not addressing any of the actual concerns of the base, of the working people of this country. And, you know, Trump is stepping into that vacuum. It's still a numbers game. He's still preaching the mantra like Nixon did back in the 60s of law and order president, which is a dog whistle word for white supremacy and racism. And they're not addressing that. And I think they're just giving Joe Biden his turn because they feel like it's his turn. And this lackluster performance is going to ensure that this guy gets elected again. But as long as they control the House with Nancy Pelosi and they can get a majority in the Senate, at best they can turn him into a lame duck president for the next 4 years, sans the executive orders. But I think that's what the DNC is shooting for. The Republican Party is gone. It's a ghost. He is the Republican Party. He has taken it over. And all of the hierarchies in the Republican Party have either stepped off or acquiesced. So we're left with the Democrat and DNC trying to just job security and everybody else either get away from Trump and secure yourself or kiss his butt. And that's where we're at. But Joe Biden, this is a joke. And it's sad. It's real sad.
So you get the same kind of, you use the word lackluster. When you refer to Joe Biden, you really think he has a lackluster campaign, even now as they approach the home stretch?
Look, if you want to win, you gotta motivate the base. You got to get the people that don't vote out to vote. You're not talking about health. We're in the middle of a pandemic. You're not talking about government-funded free health care. We're not talking about a UBI, a secured income. You're not talking about debt relief. You're not talking about rent relief. You're not the stock market is doing great. 1% of the country got 90% of the wealth. You're not addressing anything. And as far as African Americans, you're not addressing reparations. You're not addressing police. You're not even really addressing police brutality. I mean, he said it himself. Things are not going to change that much. His campaign manager, Kaufman, said, you know, well, if we do get in, Trump has made the deficit so bad that we won't have enough money for anything. All of your dynamic speakers, your AOC, your squad, you're not even pumping them up to get them people motivated. You're giving up. He's like a dead dog. You know what I mean? Wow. There's no motivation.
Well, you know, I agree with you in the sense of the campaign doesn't have the energy. It doesn't seem to be forecasting that, hey, great things are about to happen. I'm here with you. I need your help to get me over the line or something like that. But we're not getting that from Biden or from any of Biden's supporters. We're not getting that.
We're not getting it from the DNC. Like I said, it's job security. As long as they can control the House and maybe get a couple of seats in the Senate, they're happy. Because they're not, like I said before, they got no skin in this game. They're not affected if he's in there or if he's not. Because they're millionaires. And they're taken care of. They've got health they've got lifetime health protection. They can if they get a freaking hangnail, they can go to a hospital and not have to worry about paying for it. They got food. They got shelter. They got no. They're separate from us, and that's what's got to really be realized. It's my opinion. They have no empathy, no mental clarity, no connection to what's going on the world today. I mean, if you could sit here and let this man do what he's doing and not even, you know, I mean, give me a show. I mean, come on, you know, like you said in Brooklyn, you know, give me a kiss, forget about it. you know, you're not giving me nothing, you know, and it's just the same. And like I said, from their perspective, as long as they can maintain the status quo, they're good.
Well, that's here at this time, because we shouldn't be hearing these kinds of comments, not from a party that supposedly is energized and dead set on getting Trump out of the White House and replacing him with some new ideas and better programs and so forth. But we're not hearing that. And that it people think that you're being mean when you say, I don't know what they stand for. I don't know what they're trying to do. It seems pretty chaotic to me. Thanks a lot for your...
Now is the time for dynamic leadership. Now is the time for dynamic leadership. Now is the time to step into the breach and to put forward the ideas that are really groundbreaking and change. And they're not up for the task. They're not up for the task.
Well, thank you for getting us started today. David from Brooklyn, how are you?
It's getting along fine. I want to get right to business. You know, as I have talked about in my post on YouTube, Brother David from Brooklyn Speaks, and with the title of my book, Playing the Game, I'm saying this is a massive game, and the people don't get it. The people have no party. The constituency of those people in power, from the presidency on down and to the Congress and so forth, they belong to those who rule, and they have one objective, especially at the top, to enrich those at the top at the expense of the people. The people have no party that represents their interests. There's no way that you're going to make Democrat and Republican of the Uniparty have the real interests of the people, because the people are their constituency. The ruling class that pays all these massive billions of dollars for their elections and this whole system of bribery called campaign contributions and all the engineering goes along with that. That is what runs the country. So it's wishful thinking to think that one of these two divisions of the one uniparty we have are going to do good for the people. Why do some people insist? It shows that they're well-trained to think that the impossible can be possible. There's no party that represents. Now, talking about the base, when you talk about base, the ruling class has lots of what I call little people in both groups, Republican and Democrat, that made to feel that they have some input. So you encourage those people to go and vote for you, even though you're not representing the interests of those people and giving those people the quality of life, the services like health and housing and all the rest of the things that they should be giving people. You're dealing with people who want to maintain a worldwide empire. People have got to understand that. These people are interested in renting and robbing throughout the world. And they're not interested in so-called peace. War is very profitable. They're making a lot of money. So where's the People's Party that represents the interests of the people? We don't have any viable party. So you got to decide between the two bunch of crooks, Republican and Democrat, and you pick one of those, and it's the regular thing, the better of two evils, and that's what people are expected to do. So, all the dog whistle stuff that's going on, the law and order that's, you know, keep black people in check and all that. That's what Trump is applying to when he talks to his so-called base, you know, the ignorant people that are for white supremacy racism. So that's good talk for him. It's worked before, law and order. So that means he's going to keep black people in check, keep the prisons full, keep the police well-funded so they can do the things that they do to black people, and disregard completely the injustices that are occurring every day. And we're talking about law and order after they're shooting men, women, and children down by the hundreds over the years. And that is what I see. So I want to make it sure that people understand they have no party that represents their interests. These people at the top represent the interests of those who rule. That's the small ruling class. And that is what they do. So people need to get it. You know, it's very hard because people are trained in the schools and in the newspapers, television, radio, all of them controlled by the ruling class. Everything is controlled by the ruling class, and what they do is play the game to benefit themselves at the expense of the people.
Thank you so much. Thank you, David. You're right on point. I got to say that. Is Chris from New Jersey with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So then you're on the air.
You're Tracy Lee.
Yes, indeedy.
¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien.
Okay. So I agree with everything that you've been saying as far as the lack of energy coming out of Biden's campaign and everything like that. I'm a mail carrier, so I've been on the internet all day long in the street on YouTube, and this is how Biden comes in. Listen, I'm here to ask you to put your name down on my campaign. Is it
I'm laughing because you absolutely nailed it. That is, in fact, that is him at the high level of energy.
Yes, and so that little boost that Kamala gave only lasted what, 5-7 days, and it's gone downhill ever since. So it's like this dude, what's his name? Trump comes and he says, Biden is this, this, and that. And then he might pop up a few days later and say, I'm not this. I'm not that. What are we doing here? What do you stand for? What are you offering? It's the same thing that the previous callers have been saying. We don't know where you stand at. And you're talking about Trump coming to that town. And to me, my law and order. I'm from New York. I'm from Manhattan. I'm from Dyckman City. I was in Manhattan last week, a week ago from today. Because although I'm in New Jersey, all my business I do in New York. Everywhere in Manhattan, from downtown in Chambers to Harlem to uptown where the bridges to my zip code and Inwood, crazy people all over the city. Left and right, every corner you turn, in the subway. You can talk about law and order. I'm a grown man and I know how to handle myself in my head. I was scared. Yeah. So this dude, Trump, is talking about law and order. Yeah, he's consistent. He's saying something. He's saying something. That's what he's gonna do. Because people can see that in the streets, in the city, is chaos. It's chaos. So I don't blame anybody for going along and saying, you know what? I'm gonna go for Trump because he's talking about law and order. And what I see left and right in my city is chaos. And this dude Biden is like, I'm not that. I'm not this. I'm not fracking. And then there's a split too, because you got Ocasio in the street talking about we need a Green New Deal. We need this. We need that. And then Biden in the House talking about, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. See, yo, I'm up in the air. My dude, with the caller from Queens, that he calls all the time, hanging from his tongue. He's like, yo, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for Biden.
That's Ed from Jamaica.
But yes, my dude, Ed from Jamaica. He's like, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for Biden. I'm not even there yet. I don't know how I'm gonna go out and even cast a vote.
There is a something happening with your sound. You're going in and out and in and out. I wonder why.
Well, the last thing I said was my dude Ed from Queens is saying that he's gonna hold his nose and vote for Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, I'm not even there yet. Although I see the situation and how critical it is, but like you always talk about how it's an insult to my intelligence that I have to go and cast my precious vote for the so-called lesser of two evils when this dude is not even saying nothing, not even police brutality, nothing, no student loan relief, nothing. Not even fracking. Fracking. People are drinking poison water. People are lighting fires to their water. And he's saying, no, I'm not going to do away with fracking.
Oh, Chris, so it's really bad now.
Where are we going?
It's really bad. You're fading in and out. So, but thank you so much for calling. Thank you for calling. But we have to figure out what's going on with the sound on your end. It's you're going in and out to the point where you can hardly hear you, and we need to hear you. So thanks for calling in today, and give it another try tomorrow as well. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
To the beloved family. For some reason, I'm hearing a lot of interference, and I got disconnected earlier. So maybe it's, I don't know, space weather going on. But let me say that this facade of law and order, more like Atla, George Wallace, and even Richard Nixon, is so transparent. I mean, it's textbook proto-fascism. And one concern is that it seems that the masses are asses and the people are sheeple, because basically what's going on is fascist politics, and it's totally broken down in philosophy. Jason Stanley, the professor's book of How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us and Them. And Trump is just doing it by the book, because when you look at Kenosha and you look at that 17-year-old that crossed state lines illegally with that assault rifle and had some serious, serious charges, including double homicide against him, and yet Trump somehow reverses that and tries to defend him and comes up with a scenario that the video that's in place doesn't even, you know, is opposite of what the video shows you. So this is some serious times we're living in, and people better wake up.
Well, do you find it troubling that this late in the game, because we're literally entering the home stretch soon, that you just don't see the substance of what is being argued. You can't hang your hat on what people are saying. You're confused, because
that's the main problem.
That's what's coming at you.
that is the main problem because, first of all, when shortly after the torture lynching of George Floyd, I was even looking at a station that's called I-24. They do a lot of Israeli news, but even they showed that the white supremacists on social media were immediately coming on, talk about, let's get our loot on, okay? When that precinct went down, the way it went down before any charges were inspired against those officers, you can tell that that was a professional type of job in terms of burning up that precinct in Minneapolis. The umbrella man, he actually was from a prison gang and another white supremacist, and even though they use Antifa for their cover, the intelligence and the reporters easily broke the fact that that was, you know, that was just a hack, and that it was really the white supremacists. But nobody's talking about that. You hear Biden, you hear Adam Schiff. They need to say that most of the violence is coming from the white supremacists. That's a fact.
Hmm. Well, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you. E from Edgewater, you're on the air. Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I think the problem is somewhere on the station, the sound is going in and out and a lot of static. Maybe it's the weather or something down here. Maybe some forces that we don't know about are trying to mess with the station and they're doing the best, you know, to mess things up because they know we're a resistance and they want to try to disrupt our little get together here. Whatever it is, it's constantly going on. It's been going on for many years now. So we'll do the best we can to try to communicate with us with each other.
That's true.
So I was wondering, why is it that David from Brooklyn sees it so good, sees it so well, and is able to put it into words so well without the need of having some concrete proof of something written on a paper or something? He sees what he sees, and then he's saying what he's saying to react to that. And he wrote a book, and he's right on, like you say, he's right there on it. How come he's able to do it at 88 years old, Beatrice? And other people that call in are totally like they're living in the 70s, and we're still like protesting the war or something. I don't know. It's just mind-boggling to me that we keep going back to this old thing. And David's trying to bring us out of it, and we keep flowing back into it. You say you agree with everything he says, and then we go right back into talking about this Democrats and like it's a real thing going on. There's a war going on, and it's going on against us because we're not rich, all right? This thing's going on. If I said it, you'd say, where am I getting it from? And I can't prove it. So we go by the official truth of what Channel 2, 4, and 7 says because they're all in accordance with each other. They're telling us a story. We don't ask them for proof. But we need to have proof, but we know what's going on in our minds for real. Do you understand what I'm saying, Therese?
Yes, I do. I understand.
So we're like in a corner. We're unable to go forward because we can't prove. We can't prove. It's a thought. What David's saying, We agree with him, but we can't prove it. So it could be hearsay. You know.
But you know,
and this is how they keep us in check. This is how they keep us in this place. Because
there's one bit of consolation.
Our own minds. Okay. We don't want to believe the scary stuff. We don't. We want to believe we put a government in there and they're going to do things for us. But that's not the case anymore, and it probably wasn't the case for a very long time.
So let
Just
me ask.
They didn't show their hand before like they're showing it now. I mean, when Donald Trump came out with the hydroxychloroquine, we all laughed at him. They do that on purpose. They have this man as the president on purpose so he can say things that would really help us, but we think he's making up some story in his head, and we laugh at it. But now Gary Null is saying that hydroxychloroquine is a good thing to use against this virus, along with zinc and vitamin D. So, you know, this is the way they play the game. They made Donald Trump into this thing, and now he says stuff so they can say, we told you the thing that was good for the virus, but you didn't believe what he said. You went against it. We want to wear masks and stay 6 feet apart. That's going to protect us. Just like the mercury they put in our mouths when we were little kids, that was going to help us. Just like the milk to drink, that's going to make your body strong and full of calcium. And no, it was all lies. And now they're coming home here and letting us know that it's too late. They played a game with us, and we went along with it. And we helped them accomplish what they needed to accomplish. And now we have to look at Nancy Pelosi's face and have her telling us stupid things. So when I said 3 months ago that I think this virus is designed to take out half the population, and you said, where am I getting this from? I'm getting it from just observing, analyzing, seeing what's going on. I see people dying. I see people scared. I see people all disrupted. I see races fighting against each other. This is all what these rich people want. They want us all messed up, and they want to have everything for themselves. And now that they can replace us with machinery and robots, we're expendable. We're not needed anymore. They got to pay us a salary, give us vacation time, sick days. No, that's too much. Get a robot to replace us. That doesn't need anything. That doesn't.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. I'm trying to get your attention. Where we are now, just take, for example, where we are now. We're heading toward the November election. Are you comfortable with what you know about the candidates and what they stand for, and whether you agree or you endorse their views, or do you have different views? What is your feeling right now about that?
The feeling about voting is it's a waste of time because we don't have anybody to vote for. And they've been doing that to us since they murdered John Kennedy. And that's the way it's been. That's the way I've been seeing it. You could say, why are you making up stories in your head, E? No, I'm not. I'm going by what I've been seeing all along, how Johnson created more racism instead of helping black people like he said he was trying to do. He's found a way of dividing the races more to make it when Kennedy was going to do something to stop. Look, I'm going in the wrong direction here, Utrice. I'm out of my mind here, so I'm going to have to maybe hang up or take another call because I said all I can say.
Okay. All right, so
I'm losing it. I'm losing it today.
No, you're not losing it. You have more to say than your mind can accommodate right now. It's just inundated with a lot of things that you want to say. So maybe you can sift through the things that you were thinking about and call tomorrow.
Okay. All I can say is whoever joins the military is an idiot. Whoever votes for this election is an idiot. And whoever gets that vaccine is an idiot. And that's what I'm closing with.
All right. Thank you so much for your call today. Well, it seems as if I'm not the only one perplexed as to what exactly is going on in this election. Yeah, we can tell there's person A and person B, and this one is from this party and the other one is from another party. But there isn't very much happening in the way of transmitting to us any concrete idea, any logical flow of information that helps us understand how they see the world and their roles in it. I still am, the jury is out. What do they see? What is it that we can look forward to in supporting this person or supporting that person? What are they bringing to the table? What is their world like? And how much is my world like their world and vice versa? How much is their world like my world, so that we have a feeling at least that we understand each other? I don't get the feeling that we understand each other at all, or that we have the same concerns, or that we have the same dedication to things, to make this world a better place. I don't get that we are connected in any meaningful way as candidates running for the highest office in the land, and the people who are supposed to make a choice. It's a very bad situation, really. And it's not about whether the country is still strong enough to hold elections. It is whether the elections mean anything. What do we get out of elections? Do we have our greatest hopes and dreams and aspirations addressed? Do we find answers to the burning questions of the day? Do we get solutions? This is not what is happening. And, you know, quietly I'm frustrated, as I have been for years, about these very same questions that we seem to come to every time there's an election. People are not talking about the real issues that affect people. They don't have their finger on the pulse of what makes people tick, what their fears are, what their concerns are, what they look to government to do. This is the big issue for me. What is this whole, this big fracas about? What is it for? For whom is this going to be working? I don't get it. I don't get the basic answers. They're not yet apparent to me. And as I said, we're heading into the stretch. If we can't find answers now, will we ever find them in time to make a very intelligent decision? Thanks so much for listening today and for joining us in conversation. And we will just continue talking. That's the best defense that we have right now, is to talk things through. Because when we do that, we realize we're not alone. We're not isolated. There are many millions of us who are wrestling with the same issues and finding themselves in the same position of having no workable answers. Thanks. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.